Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit are three in one. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in this world that has been corrupted by sin, it's so hard for us to find the purity within ourselves that only you can provide. Open our hearts and minds today for your examples and for your understanding of what purity really is, and help us to attain it through your Son. We pray this in his name. Amen. I want to start this sermon by telling you a quote from Pastor Henry Booth, and it'll kind of set up the rest of the sermon. He writes, "According to the nature and character of the fountain will be the character of the stream. The heart may be compared to a reservoir which supplies a large town with its hundreds of streets and thousands of pipes. If the water be pure in the reservoir, it will be conveyed in its purity through the pipes to the inhabitants. But if unclear there, it will be impure at its destination. The heart is the reservoir from which life flows. The mouth, hands, feet, looks, actions, etc. are the pipes. If the heart is pure, purity will be manifested in life." Well, as we move on to our next beatitude attitude in Matthew 5, this time we go verse 8, where it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I'll be honest with you, this one is challenging. With all the muddled mess we have to deal with in life, how in heaven's name are we ever to achieve purity, at least the kind of purity that God is looking for? Well, I think that we answered it in that way, because it's only by heaven that we have a chance at all. If you think of your Christian walk, purity is really our number one goal, isn't it? We want to have a heart that's pure. It's easy for us to understand the opening illustration because inwardly we all know that our deeds stem from the condition of our heart. If our heart is pure, well, our deeds will be less polluted. If our heart is full of darkness and corruption, well, it'll be shown in our words and our actions. As Americans, we understand the importance of purity, especially in a worldly sense. We want our bottled water to be the purest. We want our food to be untainted. We want our relationships to be without corruption. We want all these things coming from outside sources to be uncontaminated in any way so that we can get what we think we're getting or what we want to be getting. It's when we are asked to give that the problem with purity rears its ugly head. As far as giving, we like to do it with the least amount of stress on ourselves. We like to give, but only to the point of acceptance and not beyond. The least pure form of ourselves that we can get away with, well, the better. Unfortunately for us, God cannot accept anything but the purest of hearts. There can be no sin, no unwholesomeness whatever within us. Our morals must be unadulterated, and all of our actions must be clean. Well, it sounds like we're doomed, doesn't it? And of course, we would be if not for Christ. So, what does Jesus mean when he says, "Blessed be the pure in heart"? What does pure mean in a godly sense? Does it mean that we have to be perfect? Well, if so, then we have lots of explaining to do. After all, who among us is perfect? Who among us is without a blemish or fore? Let's first start with the English definition. To be pure means really two things: to be uncontaminated or to be unmixed. To be pure is to be cleansed from impurities. And I believe that this definition gives us a lot to work with when we're talking about the kind of impurity Jesus is talking about here. After all, what did Jesus come here to do? He came to take our impurities away. He came to because He came to become the prism that the Father looks through as he gazes into his creation. He came to make his perfection our own, because it is the only hope we would have had. Of course, this kind of blessing can't be attributed to any of our earthly efforts. This kind of grace-filled purity can only happen by way of the divine. So the pure in heart are those who trust in Christ alone for their cleansing and for their purity. The pure in heart are those who recognize their own worldliness of sin and corruption, understanding that purity through forgiveness is something to be grasped because of the unselfish act of the only one who could honestly claim purity. Our second definition means to be unmixed. In other words, for the pure in heart, there's no room for the things of the world. The Greek word used to describe clear water or metal without impurities that were with the impurities removed, and grain that had the chaff removed, or feelings that were unmixed. With this definition in mind, it means having a heart that is unmixed in its devotion. For instance, we can't properly serve God with a pure heart if our devotion is split between Him and our passion for wealth or anything worldly. This kind of double-mindedness has always plagued the church. If truth be told, it's probably something that you're dealing with right now. The trouble with us, you and me, is our divided heart. We want the best of what God has to offer. We want what we can get from God. But we also want what we can get from our worldliness, too. One part wants to know God, wants to worship God, wants to please God. But another part wants things our own way. Paul expressed this very well in Romans chapter 7. He said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing." Sound familiar? I know it does for me. A pure heart is a focused heart. One that gives all its attentions to what is right and rebukes what is wrong. Its single purpose is to please and glorify God. In biblical terms, the heart is not an organ that transfers blood, but something much broader. It has more to do with human emotions. And we look at John 14:1. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Or it has to do with human intellect. And we find this in Mark 2, verse 8. "And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your heart?'" Or it has to do with human will. And we can get a good example of this from Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself." But all these references view the heart as being the seat of character. Thus the proverb, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Our heart is and has always been the source of all of our troubles. From the very beginning of time, our heart has been split. From the very first bite in that forbidden fruit, our hearts have yearned for other things than God. More than that, they have yearned that we could be our own God. Our hearts separate us, and they're very stubborn in their healing. Our hearts still want the forbidden over the holy. It's something sin has brought into the world, and therefore our struggle continues. Jesus himself said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Our truest nature is found in our heart. The fact that God can work it into purity is one of his greatest miracles. Jesus said, when talking of the nature of the heart, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The heart, therefore, is the center of our spiritual life. And that's why to be like God means to be pure in heart. But can the heart ever be changed? Again, the answer is a resounding yes. The pathway to purity always leads through Christ. Because we had no hope of purity through our own efforts, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus Christ has become our purity. But in order to truly receive this most incredible gift, we must first recognize that we have a great need for it. First, we must recognize that we all have imperfections. And as soon as we understand that godly purity is beyond our reach and only achieved through Christ, well, then we can proceed on to this process of purification. But to admit that only God can make your heart pure is not to suggest that we are allowed to become passive in the matter. Or as Martin Lloyd-Jones suggests, it does not mean that I should walk the gutters in life waiting for God to cleanse me. A heart intent on godly purity continues to strive for purity even as it's being cleansed. A heart intent on perfection continually strives to overcome those things that make it imperfect in the eyes of Christ. Each believer, you and I, we have a responsibility for maintaining the purity which has been gained. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." So as in all things, we need to be steadfast in our prayers to be pure, knowing that communication is key to improvement. David prayed, "Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." He knew that only in desire expressed through prayer could we remain committed to the task. To be pure in heart, we must be committed to the Word of God as our blueprint in life. The heart committed to purity daily digests these biblical vitamins needed to heal itself. Our vitamins come in God's word and direction. You ignore the medication and the infections, the impurities escalate. The heart in search of purity takes in the word daily, and I hope that you're doing that. The heart in search of purity worships God in all things and commits themselves to worshiping with those who fight the battle at their side. This was never intended to be a battle that we were to face alone. God will always be on our side, has always been at our side, but also are all the brothers and sisters that we are given through faith. We need each other to fight our way through the impurities and temptations of the world. When you miss worship, you miss the opportunity to help and to be helped. Finally, the heart that searches for purity is a heart willing to surrender itself to the only one from which true purity can be found. Only God can do the impossible. Only He can provide a heart in good standing. As in all the Beatitudes, it takes the strong who can do these things that Christ is asking for us. It takes strength. It takes faith. And in this, there is no exception. For that kind of strength, only one source can give it to you, and that's the one true God. the source of strength. That is why it takes a total surrender. So do you want to see God? I mean, really see Him? Well, then it'll take a pure heart. And that's a heart that only He can provide. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Blessed be the pure in heart, for they shall see God." God longs for your undivided heart. He yearns for a heart that has not been mixed with worldliness. Won't you give Him your heart today? All of it? Don't let your own ambitions cloud you from the things that are most important. Amen.